And it is a great pleasure to welcome to our show today, man who I've wanted to talk to for a while. We finally were able to do that today. He's known in show business for many years as a great singer. He's got a wonderful story. We'll get into that perhaps for a few minutes. But he's made his living really doing Christian music, but kind of a unique style, Christian big band. So we'll find out about that. And he's worked with just about everybody in show business and lives just right up the road from us here in Sarasota. Dave Boyer joined us by telephone today. And Dave, a really pleasure to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Doug. Great talking to you, too. Yeah, same state. How about it?
That's great. Yeah, we didn't both grow up here, but we wound up down here somehow.
Yeah, we're both Yankees, right? Long Island and Pennsylvania.
That's
how
it.
About it?
I was just kind of keeping up with you over, you know, over the years from time to time. As we talked before we went on, my mom was involved with the Christian Women's Club back in Long Island where we grew up, and she would book the speakers, and I remember you were one of them, and she brought home your album, and you were quite a hit that day. But you've done a lot of that over the years, those
well,
clubs.
Well, it's been a joy for me, Doug. It really has, and it's amazing. It keeps going on. It amazes me sometimes because, you know, I started my career in show business at 19 down at Skinny DeMountain's 500 Club in Atlantic City. And then for 13 years, you know, played the clubs, but then got my life pretty messed up with substance abuse.
Right.
And my family had to leave me for a while. But, well, it's a message of grace. You know, I'm a pastor's son, and I remembered the forgiveness of the cross and turned back to the Lord Jesus and changed my life, and he did it. And restored my marriage, and it's been a great, great walk over these years, and released 24 albums over the years for the Lord's glory, and singing his praises with the big band.
That's what makes it unique, because, you know, gospel music's fine, a lot of it, you know, wonderful music, but I like the two, you know, I've done a big band jazz show on radio for years, so I like that kind of music anyway, and it's kind of unique that you continue that. Great charts, you know, with that type of music.
It's been a joy, and I've worked with great guys over the years, in that, like Ralph Carmichael, who's retired now. And
right.
Three great albums with Ralph, and then Ron Huff, who's gone to be with the Lord, and Kurt Kaiser over the years, Bob Krogstad, some great arrangers. But my first arranger is a gentleman of the Jewish faith. And I did my first four albums, Christian albums, in Capitol Records in New York at the old 45th Street studio there with Jonathan Tunick. And we still keep a strong relationship going. So it's been a really great time.
Come on home, come on home, you've been running too long. Come on home, come on home, my house is where you belong. So, come on home, I've been expecting your call. Come on home, the past doesn't matter at all. The banners are waving and the table is spread. Hey, your robe, it's spotless and new. My son was lost, now he is found. And we're just waiting for you. So come on home, won't you get on home? You've been running too long. Get up and come on home. Get on home. The past does not matter at all. When I picked up the phone to call collect, that was the only thing left for me to do. I did not have the change to dial direct. I wondered if I could get through. Hello, operator, hello, are you on the phone? I'm calling in Jesus' name. Would you please connect me to my Father's throne? You know what happened? Then over that line, his voice, it came. Oh, put your hands together. Come on home. Get on home. You've been running too long. Come on home, get on home, my house is where you Come on home, get on home. I've been expecting your call. Come on home, get on home. The past doesn't matter at all. Those banners are waving and the table is spread. And your robe is spotless and new. My son was lost, now he is found. Just wait for you. Come on home, get on home. You've been running too long. Get up, come on home, get on home. The past doesn't matter. Jesus knocked it out at Calvary, hallelujah. Your past doesn't matter at all. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. It's gone, hallelujah.
Started at the Skinny D'Amato's Club 500 in Atlantic City. My dad was stationed there during his time in the war in the 40s. He was there when Dean and Jerry just kind of hit right then, and he said that was quite a place, that Club 500.
That's right, he did, and I had a different name than Joey Stevens.
Joey Stevens,
I went
right
down there. I was singing at a local club in my hometown in York, Pennsylvania, and that club owner had some people, friends he knew, and they came down and heard me, and they were very close to Mr. D'Amato, and went down there on a Saturday night and sang for him, and that was what started a career.
Yeah, amazing.
It was very thrilling. And in 1953, I opened for Martha Lewis, and then I was with them when the last 2 weeks together they did at the 500 Club.
And they would go back there, right? They didn't just start there. They would go back every year or two?
They went back, oh, yeah. And then Jerry came back in 1957 as a single. And that show, and then, in fact, that week is when I get drafted in the United States Army. I got my draft papers. And of course, through that club, everybody came, of course. And one of my great exciting times of meeting was, meet Sinatra when he was there and everything, and hear him and be mentored to a degree by his talent. And so it was a pretty wonderful time.
I know he would go back there because he had he would feel loyalty a bit to Skinny, because Skinny kind of gave him a break when he was having trouble, right? When Frank was having trouble.
Exactly right. And Skinny gave a chance to sing. And that's when, it's before I came down there, but the guys in the band were telling me that's when he did the first Nelson Riddle stuff. And Doug, it was with a small group. It was with a rhythm section and strings,
right,
and a couple of woodwind players. Foggy Day and that, and all those tunes came out of that.
He really changed his style, because pop music at that time was changing, and he didn't fit in, right? Didn't Mitch Miller just basically tell him he had to record this junky stuff at the time?
Yeah,
he didn't like that.
Can you picture him singing on top of Old Smokey? Like, it sounds like when Ralph Carmichael, I talk about songs, Ralph's such a great talent, my Lord. I mean, he's written for Nat Cole, Jack Jones and everything, and he's such a great friend, and he's such a great guy musically. And we talk about a given, gospel songs. He says, I said, can we swing this? He says, Dave, we can swing anything. But I don't think you could swing on top of Old Smokey.
No, that'd be tough. Although Frank did the recording of Old MacDonald. I've heard
Old
that.
Old MacDonald, I know, yeah.
That came out okay,
his library, between he and Tony Bennett, and even Johnny Mathis, in years, these great. And a lot of this stuff that was never big as far as national audience, but such great material, just great material.
Well, the one thing about Frank, and his friends have said the same thing. He could be great 1 minute, and the next minute you think he's going to kill you. So he was a difficult guy to work with.
Well, he was. I never saw that side of him, so I was fortunate.
Yeah.
But the best of them all was the one you mentioned. His daughter was Dean. For me. He was the kindest, nicest guy to work with. As a celebrity, and what a lot of people thought, when they broke up, it would be all Jerry Lewis. Let me tell you, Dean put together one of the greatest nightclub shows I've ever seen in my life.
I've become friends with her over the years. Just she came in our studio a few times, and we've done interviews the last 10 or 15 years. And you're right.
Wow.
There's nobody that's ever said a word about Dean that he was mean or nasty. I mean, just the nicest guy. I never met him, obviously.
Yeah, but, and he was a hard worker. I mean, I remember in rehearsal when some of the players were late, and he looked at me and he said, "Joey, you know, downbeat's at 2 o'clock. What's happening?" So he wasn't anything lazy. He wasn't always on the golf course. He knew every little thing about what he was doing.
That TV show, which he did, you know, the variety show, Dean would say, he would get taped during the week and kind of, you know, he'd learn the show. He wouldn't have to necessarily be there, but he could come in on a day and just run through the songs once or twice, and he'd do the show. He had that type of ability.
Yes, he did. He was, and I loved his style. I really did. So it was a blessing to be around those guys. And then in the new life with the Lord, to meet such wonderful friends. In fact, we're having a real nice thing in the last couple of years with the Legends concerts that we're doing with guys that had, you know, a lot of visibility and hit records in the Christian field, the 70s, 80s, and 90s, like Leon Patillo and David Meese and Scott Wesley Brown. And we all get together and do a big show. So we're doing that in Staten Island coming up in September.
Oh, great. I was just looking at your schedule there. So you travel not necessarily just in the state, but you're all over the country doing shows.
Yeah. And up there, I mean, what's happening, Doug, is all over the country, I've got different big bands I work with that most of them are believers, and they blow the walls down. I mean, the Tulsa Praise Orchestra, I've done over 250 dates with them. And then my great friend John Fogg in Pittsburgh, he has a great band called Victory Jazz Band. I'm trying to think of all the right names of different ones. And right. Then the one in Tulsa, right in New York, that church guy, Tim Mercado is the pastor now, but he's a great piano player and singer. And he brings all 802 Union guys. We put a 17-piece band up in the church.
Wow.
And it's a blast.
Calvary covers it all. All my past, with its sin and every shame, all my guilt, my despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. Far dearer than all that this world can impart is the message that comes to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone. Blessed Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all my past with its sin and its shame. Despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. My guilt, my despair, Jesus took on. And Calvary covers it all.
Come on home. That's one of your first of the that really took off.
That's right.
from the big band style.
Yeah, and that was Ralph. That was Ralph Carmichael, and that actually he wrote that song.
Oh, he wrote it. Okay, I didn't know that he wrote it.
Yeah, and he wrote it for me, you know, because of the Prodigal Son setting, and I just never forget. We did that whole album at the old Capitol Records and right there in Hollywood, and man, we on the first date we had 42 players in there.
Wow.
And we had most of the guys, like Johnny Aldino and lead trumpet from the Tonight Show band. And it was a great orchestra. I mean, I was just thrilled hearing those guys play, I tell you. You know, and Ralph is so good. So it's been an exciting time for me.
DaveBoyerMinistries.com. I want to give out your website now. People get more information about your latest CDs and your concert schedule and your biography. You just mentioned it briefly. Won't go into it again, but I mean, quite a story you had, and they made a movie about it, right? Back in the early 70s, the Billy Graham didn't they make a movie about you?
So Long, Joey, yeah. And it's a wonderful thing. My wife and I just celebrated 59 years.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah.
Last week, yeah, thanks. And our granddaughter got her master's degree this year, and our precious daughter, Junie, doing well. So I'm a blessed man, Doug. I'm so very thankful that I'm honored to be able to do this ministry for the glory of God.
And when you think of it, you know, obviously what you went through, you prefer probably never having to, you know, go through that. But out of it came, like you said, a whole new life for yourself. And
right.
It's inspiring to hear stories of people coming back. A lot of times you don't hear that good part at the end.
Yeah, well, once again, it's a message of grace that I just try to deliver through the music. And, you know, I just look at it as a journey. God had a plan for me. And all the days, I never be judgmental towards showbiz entertainment. I love it. That's why I still do a lot of pop. I mean, I love that and everything. And they were good days. I met some great people. The guys are my still great friends over the years. Many of them gone now, but I'm thankful for all that had come along in my life.
Did you ever work Vegas when you were?
No, but I went back as a believer a lot.
Yeah,
and believe me. Yeah, I've had some great times of ministry out there. Really have, and one of my thrilling times was the Billy Graham Crusade in 1980 there.
Oh, great, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, my dad, my pastor father, I'm the youngest of six children in York, Pennsylvania, and all my family were singers. My mother was a great singer and pianist. But Billy Graham, if you read his book, Just As I Am, had his first crusade at my dad's church in 1941.
Wow, I didn't know that. Oh,
and wow. I was a little guy, and here I was years later to be able to be on the program, give my testimony, and then sing Calvary Covers It All at his request.
A face in a crowd, nothing to be proud about till he called my name. Just one among many, not a hero to anyone, but still he came. He said, "Child, you're special." I said, "How can it be?" Then he simply answered, "You were meant to be like me." No, I'll never understand the reason why, or what it was he saw in me through his loving eyes. He chose me. It's hard to imagine why he chose me when he knows me better than I know myself. Before I knew to call for help, he chose me. What can I give with the life that I'm living? Is there some good I've done? What is it he sees that the Father was pleased to sacrifice his Son? Oh, a love such as this love I can't comprehend, but of one thing I'm certain, his love just never ends. Yet I'll never understand the reason why, or what it was he saw in me through his loving eyes. He chose me. It's hard to imagine why God chose me. When he knowed me, does he ever? Better than I know myself. Before I knew to call, certain, God's love just never ends. Yet I'll never understand the reason why, or what it is he still sees in me through his loving eyes. He chose. Chose me. He chose you and me.
Listening to you, you know, some of the videos I've seen on YouTube of you singing, the voice sounds as good as ever. You keep that in shape, don't you?
Yeah, I thank God that my mother was. She had perfect pitch, and the first thing she did is send us to coaches. I had my first lesson as a voice soprano. I've had great coaches over the years because I could never do what, even though I'm a stylist, you know, but I was taught to sing correctly so that I can keep going, and then getting rid of some of the smoke and the booze and swimming. Yeah, I can still sing.
Yeah, that's the only thing that bothered me. Even watching the greats as a kid, you know, like Sammy Davis, George Dean, and Frank, the smoking. He always said, that's going to hurt their voice.
It's going to get to you.
It's going to get to you.
You got to make a choice there, that's for sure.
But Tony Bennett, he's still going strong. I mean, he's 91.
Sure.
God bless him, you know.
Oh, yeah. I love Tony Bennett. I love him. In fact, I have an arrangement that I do. Oh, the Good Life.
Great song.
With that same feeling, you know, and of his instrumentation. But I love Tony Bennett, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, great talent, great singer.
Just down in our area about 6 months ago did a show, and still does that a cappella number in there. Well, I didn't see that one, but a friend of mine went and still sing that booming voice at 91, I guess he is. So it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's going on 92.
Yeah.
And Ralph Carmichael just got off the road last year at 90.
Did he really? Wow, 90.
Yeah,
wow.
He was down your way. I've been down your way at Fort Myers with the big band,
yeah.
Right there at Dan Benzer's at the First Assembly. Yeah, Assembly of God.
We got to get you in our area here in Sarasota, Dave. Get you down here some of the areas. It'd be great to see in person. But I'm just looking at your schedule now. You're heading up to in September as we record today, Staten Island for a few shows, right?
Yeah, we do there, and then out to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Your former hometown area, right? That's where you grew up?
That's exactly right. We'll be going out to Towson and other things that work, and Ocean City. So So I just try to keep pace with everything. But I don't go every night like I used to. No more, Doug. I love to be.
You'd have some downtime to enjoy.
Oh yeah, I love my family and I love living at the Villages and I love to swim and be around and be out and barbecue like everybody else.
Before we wrap up, I do want to add the 500 Club. When did that end? I know it kind of had a fire, right? And then it went out of business.
Yeah, it's a 1970. I did a shoot. Pat Robertson sent his guys up to there, and they had me do a shoot right there where it had burnt down. I think it was 1977.
77, like okay,
that.
Yeah.
And because on the front, when this is 6 years to the day that I came to faith, Skinny DiMonte invited me back. And they released my book, So Long, Joey, written for me by my Jewish friend who was a nightclub editor at Atlantic City Press, Sonny Schwartz, who's passed
on.
Right. So Skinny, with his arm on me, had me write my old name in the cement next to Sinatra's, where all these different names, Martin Lewis were there, and I put Joey Stevens, and Skinny said, put a line through it. And I put my real name, Dave Boyer, then I put John 3:16, my favorite Bible verse. Then went to the supper club where I used to stand with all those guys the last time with the Rat Pack in 1963. But I stood there and, by his request, gave a gospel concert for an hour in the 500.
Wow, that's great.
And I never forget, Skinny closed all the bars and they served Coke and cookies.
Yeah, right.
At the 500 club.
That's great.
And all my buddies and friends were there. It was a great afternoon, yeah. So...
He was a character, Skinny, huh?
Yeah, he knew how to run a club, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And he had all those people in there over the years, yeah.
Did you get a chance to talk to Jerry before he passed away? Had you kept in touch with him at all?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, you know, he was here and I was out of town. He was here and played that sheriff.
He played that theater long before he died, right.
Yeah. Not before, right. He was in a wheelchair, the paper said.
Right, yeah. He couldn't walk
but
too
But I didn't
well,
get the chance, yeah.
Yeah, I just wondered if you had been able to keep in touch with him. He was a character in himself. A great talent,
yeah,
but he was something. Let's say that.
Oh yeah, their nightclub act was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I mean,
yeah, what was that like? I've seen some clips on YouTube of them. I think at the Copacabana, it looked completely nuts.
Guy. Yeah. I mean, there was one bit where Jerry would be. He'd come in the back of the room as a college kid on his first date night on prom night while the crooner was up there. And then they'd sit at the table right next to Dean. And Jerry, while Dean was singing a pretty quiet ballad, Jerry'd be mouthing off and everything. And it was hilarious. And we did the Today Show. After the last 2 weeks they were there, it's the last 2 weeks they were together. But the first night, before the show opened, they were there for the National Governors Convention. They did a show. Then they came to the club, and we did the Today Show early in the morning, all of us. I'll never forget that.
Wow.
And they weren't talking. They didn't share dressing rooms. They had different dressing rooms. And but Dean was singing Embrace Up to You, and Jerry got up and took the camera and put the camera on the monkey. They used to That did not go over well with Dean.
Could you tell during those 2 weeks that there was tension? Could you feel it between them? Or?
Well, all I can say is when we set up out in the front lounge for breakfast for about 40 people in the cast, and I sat next to Dean, and Jerry was across the way, but they didn't talk. Now,
yeah.
On stage, you never know. You know, but they went their separate ways you know, the other time. But they were great on stage. You'd never know it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Dean put up with that, he said. I think even Jerry said, you know, Dean probably should have broken it up 5 years earlier, but he hung in there because they were doing so well, you know.
They were the top thing going, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, the movies and the live shows and the records.
Oh,
and all
yeah.
That, you know? Yeah, great stuff. Yeah,
that's another life story, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, we want people to check out again DaveBoyerMinistries.com, the website, and Dave, real pleasure having a chance to talk with him. Glad we could do it today, and please, we'll keep in touch.
I would love to. That I would love to. And love to see you. And thank God for the memory of the Christian Women Club with your folks.
I'll tell my mom next time I see her on Friday that we spoke.
Oh,
sure she'll be happy
give
to
her
hear
my
blessing. She's 97, so she's still with us.
You know what? Send me your address and hers. I'd love to get my treasury hymns to her.
It's oh, great.
20
okay.
Hymns. 20 hymns all recorded there.
Oh,
with
appreciate that. Yeah, I will do that. Great. Dave Boyer, thanks for doing it. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Doug.
Just once in a lifetime. One wonderful moment when fate takes his hand. This is my moment, my once in a lifetime. In my lifetime, I feel like a giant. I'm gonna soar like an eagle, as though I had wings. And this is my moment. Yeah, my destiny calls me. And though it may be once in a lifetime, I'm gonna do great. Yes, my destiny calls me, and though it may be once in a lifetime, though it may be just once in a lifetime.